Yeah, good afternoon.
Graham here.
If you'd just like to read out your statement.
Yes, so I've prepared a written statement in line with the procedural minute. Please just stop me at any time if you'd like to ask questions. I prefer to talk than read, so. and I'll try and get through quickly because I think I'm the last one up, am I?
Yes.
Yes, excellent. Well, thanks for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Otago Fish and Game Council, which I'll refer to the Otago Fish and Game Council for this as just Fish and Game, but we are only representing the Otago Council. So we are a statutory and management authority for the sports fish and game bird species. In order to fulfil parts of the Council's statutory obligations under the Conservation Act, Fish and Game takes an active role in participating in planning processes to advocate for the interests of hunters and anglers and for the protection of habitat which sports fish and game bird species rely upon. In the 2016-2017 year, Fish and Game sold roughly 29,000 licences across Otago to hunters and anglers, meaning the organisation represents tens of thousands of individuals in carrying out this function. Within this plan change stream, earthworks are a clear priority for Fish and Game. We're supportive of the objectives and policies put forward because of their clear direction to minimise adverse effects on the environment. The need for strong policy in the Queenstown Lakes District is urgent as sediment discharge from poorly planned subdivision and development is having a significant effect on aquatic ecosystems. Wanaka is an excellent example of what's going on in the region. The town has engulfed small string-fed streams which boast stable flows that do not easily flush sediment from their systems. This type of habitat is perfect for spawning and rearing functions for natives and introduced species, and those ecosystems support the wider Lake Wanaka aquatic system. However, silt from the surrounding urban development, much of which comes from inappropriately designed earthworks, regularly runs into these streams now. Anecdotally, I've been told in the last, say, 18 months, there's been, say, 7 or so of those such events where previously it would be almost unheard of. So this is a really big problem in Wanaka.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So this fills interstitial spaces between the natural rock and gravel substrate and destroys the existing ecosystem, limiting habitat for macro invertebrates upon which fish feed, destroying spawning opportunities and cover for juvenile fish. These systems are being irreparably altered in just a few years. The proposed plan gives a small number of rules relating to earthworks' immediate effect. Fish and Game strongly supports this, as we hope that they'll provide a base level of protection. In a similar vein, Fish and Game seeks to alter Rule 25.5.20 to remove exemptions for lakes and wetlands not flowing into a lake or river. Uncapped habitat, for example, an ephemeral wetland or lake, provides seasonal habitat for species such as waterfowl and can form a crucial niche for some highly specialised species. Sedimentation affects these habitats like any other, and they deserve a base level of protection to retain their ecological function. Arguably, these ecosystems are less common than permanently watered ecosystems, which creates a need for more protection, not less. On that point, there is an alternative reading, which I've not included in here, which it could, that Rule 25.5.20 could be interpreted as being related only to artificial water bodies, lakes and wetlands. If that's the intention, then that's something that we would support. I feel that it could be amended to specifically include artificial in front of each one of those ecosystem types for the avoidance of doubt. So, furthermore, the use of the word flow in this rule is ambiguous. In some habitats, connecting flows can be intermittent throughout the year. An ephemeral wetland or lake may be connected during winter, but dry or disconnected during summer. If the intention of the rule isn't to target only artificial habitats, then we'd ask that the lake and wetland section be struck from the rule. Fish and Game submission has also raised the issue of the phrase Indigenous biodiversity. Fish and Game seeks that this be amended simply to biodiversity so as to include introduced species which the community values as well. Angling opportunities in particular are valued by the community and are a draw card for tourism in the region. Otago accounts for roughly 70% of angling pressure in New Zealand, the majority of which comes from the Queenstown Lakes District. It's a bit of a powerhouse for angling. trout and salmon are valued by the community, and the habitat they rely upon is deserving of protection for a range of issues. If we were to use the term biodiversity, it does not detract from the protection afforded to Indigenous species, and it gives effect to Section 7H of the RMA. Finally, in undertaking our functions in the Conservation Act relating to access, Fish and Game regularly places signs in angling and hunting areas throughout the district. These provide information about regulations relevant for the area, and as well as conditions of access. Fish and Game installs or replaces roughly a dozen signs of this type per year. It's a public service carried out to fulfil a statutory requirement, and Fish and Game has made suggestions to ensure that this activity can continue under permitted activity status. So, forcing organisations like Fish and Game or DOC to apply for consent of this type, to provide this type of information signage, will create unnecessary drain on everyone's resources. So, we'd appreciate it if you could take those suggestions from the submission on board.
One of the suggestions we've had from other submitters is that the ski area subzones be exempted from all earthworks. Does Fish and Game have a position on earthworks in those areas?
In the subzone?
The ski area subzone, the fire.
And when they say exempted, they mean exempted from the policies relating to earthworks?
Having no requirements to get a consent for any earthworks is what they're seeking, as I understand.
From the district council.
From the district, yeah, no, yeah. We'd be opposed to that. It would be, just to confirm, I don't have the maps in front of me, but the that subzone will be in high altitude, would it not?
Yes, they're all. I don't know if you're familiar with the ski fields here, but Treble Cane, Picarona, Snow Farm, Coronet Peak, and Remarkables.
We have a couple of applications that we're assessing at the moment, looking at creating ski field developments and the installation of ski lifts and also the earthworks to create some runs, some groomed runs. They do have pretty significant impacts on high country. We would certainly be opposed to removing environmental considerations, removing the requirement to meet with the objectives and policies and rules in the plan. The reason is that area is pretty sensitive up there. While there might not be many species that you normally think of, you know, like for example fish, up in those high country areas, they are still sensitive ecosystems that do require protection. I'm sure you would have seen recently the hullabaloo in the paper caused by NZ Ski getting consent from the RC to remove a significant regional significant wetland. Those applications come with a wide array of other activities that are being done, you know, moving plants and whatnot. That's all associated with those earthworks, and I'd be worried if they weren't required to get consent from QLDC as well.
Where was that example?
I think it was in the Remarkables.
No,
I wouldn't
know.
It's an area where Fish and Game if you listen to the rumors, other affected parties are looking at it very closely. Certainly not a time to reduce regulation.
Just on that theme, one of the other points that's been put and raised quite heavily is that ORC and DOC have already got input to that, so therefore there's no need for QLDC to be involved in the belt and braces attitude. How does Fish and Game feel?
I'm very wary of those sorts of arguments where people are saying someone else has got this. I would say, you know, a primary function for QLDC would be to regulate these types of activities. We certainly, as an organisation, Fish and Game wouldn't. We might take a lead from another organisation, but we'd certainly think that it was appropriate in areas where we have statutory obligations to make our own decision. I certainly wouldn't just leave it up to the DOC and the ORC, although I definitely take their lead.
Just going back to take that a bit further, we've heard a lot of evidence to the effect that, and I'm very interested in the Wanaka example, to the effect, well, don't be worried, the council doesn't need to be involved in this because the Otago Regional Council poses conditions that ensure that these problems don't occur. What I'm hearing you say here, those problems are occurring. Now, they're either occurring because the plan conditions don't require the appropriate safeguards against sedimentation particularly, and or it's not enforced or monitored. Would you like to comment on that?
It could potentially be either. I mean, I think the QLDC district plan and the ORC regional plan need to work in concert. So, and a good example sort of would be the policies and the objectives in the earthworks section of the proposed plan. I mean, there's some really good, strong policies in there, which could be used by which will be used by planners when they're looking to issue a consent to develop conditions to ensure that we don't see impacts on the environment. Or the wording I think in the chapter is that the impacts are minimised. Certainly, at the moment, I wouldn't characterise the impacts of sediment on the environment in Wanaka as being minimised, bigger than they potentially ever have been in the last decade or so. So I really hope that that will change soon. And if a consent condition is not working, well, that's probably time for a council to review the consent condition. And make sure that it is meeting the requirements of their plan.
Has Fish and Game raised concerns, obviously with the examples you've got inside, and we're aware of one particular subdivision in one area with sediment and runoff. Mm-hmm. Have you raised it with ORC or anybody else in terms of why has this happened?
To the best of my knowledge, we have. That conversation's been going up. Could have been going at the CEO level for us and at the council level for us. But we've been sort of talking with all and sundry about that issue, particularly on Bullet Creek. There's a number of other spring-fed creeks around Wanaka and around the district which have like similar issues. But we've particularly been focused on Bullet Creek. We have an old hatchery site of a property on Bullet Creek which we're revegetating at the moment, doing a whole bunch of work for the benefit of the community. And the anecdotal reports of for that stretch seem pretty bleak. I think management subdivision management in general around Wanaka and around the district can be really, really improved. And that needn't wait for the ORC to step up to do that.
Yes, and you said it was a bit unclear the way it was written previously, but I just noticed in the latest version, which was attached to the rebuttal evidence of Mr. Wyeth, he's written that any artificial water body, and then put some brackets in so that the following words, which are watercourse, lake, pond or wetland, are all sort of bracketed after the words artificial waterway, and so it looks to me that do not flow into a lake and river. Mm-hmm. So that would satisfy your requirement. As long as it's just they're all artificial ones.
Yes, as long as they're all artificial. Well, I would prefer that they weren't bracketed, just as a matter of point.
Yeah, the word artificial went before each of those
yes,
words.
Yes,
I understand what you mean. All right, thank you. And then with the signs rules, I noticed that, again, in the rebuttal version, it's been made more clear that signs required by Acts of Parliament, legislation or statutory requirements, which are the ones you were talking about, are not subject to any other rules of the chapter.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that covers off your concern that they could be caught by another rule relating to wolves or that sort of thing.
Yes, apologies, I missed that one.
No, that's right. But that is exactly, at the last minute. Yeah.
That is exactly what we've been seeking.
Okay, yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And no, good, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Cheers.
Well, thank you.
Now, Mr. Place, so you are the sole councillor also left here. I'll pass the message back to you. I'll be issuing a minute in the next day or two, setting out a number of questions that we would like, or matters that we would specifically like dealt with in the reply. So I'm really giving you a heads up that you can pass on to the team that there'll be some matters that, that's not a limitation. They're more than welcome to respond whatever they like, but there's certain matters which we would definitely want a response on.
Okay.